If you have your Bibles with you, if you can turn with me to Psalm 23. Other than that, I'm going to display our reading of the message this morning, which is from Psalm 23. And as has been our custom with the reading of the psalm, I want to begin, first of all, by our reading together of this passage in the what is known as the King James Version of the Bible. And I did that purposely because it's a translation particularly of the words of this psalm that many have possibly grown up with. And we will then also read it together in the New International Version, from which I'll be expounding this morning. Perhaps it might even be a good change for us as we read this passage of God's Word, perhaps for us to stand, seeing that we've been seated for a reasonable amount of time already. And as we stand, just to acknowledge the preciousness of God's Word as we read through that together. Shall we stand as we read Psalm 23? First of all, from the King James Version, which is up there, and you can follow in whatever translation you have. But Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou, or you, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Please be seated. Father, we just pray this morning that your blessing would be upon our hearing, even more than that, our listening, and even more than that, our understanding. Through your voice, through the words of this psalm, written down and recorded so many years ago, but yet has so much life application for us. We pray that, Lord, as a shepherd gently guides his sheep, you would guide us through this passage of this morning. Teach us anew. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now in the fifth week of a series that I began some time back entitled Life Lessons from Psalm 23. And in the first four parts of this series, we covered the first four verses, and I've been absolutely astounded by how much, even though I've only just scraped the surface, I've been amazed at how much depth there is in the words of the psalm. We saw in the first message, in case you perhaps weren't here for some or all of them, in that first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing." We saw in that first message that this can be summed up by one word, and that word is contentment. The contentment that God wants to bring into your life and my life. And then secondly, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters" can be summed up by the word peace. A peace that comes and passes all understanding, a peace that comes from knowing him as our shepherd. And then in verse 3, "He restores my soul, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." That verse is all about purpose. The purpose that God wants to give you in your life, the purpose for your life. And then in verse 4, last time we saw, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That verse is all about confidence. It's about the confidence that we can have in knowing that our God, our shepherd, is with us. And we were able to confidently put our trust in Him, even during life's most difficult moments. Now this morning, our key verse is verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. This too can be summed up by one word, and that one word is the word abundance. When I first took a look at this verse, I thought, well, David has completely shifted gears here. He's changed from the sheep and the shepherd metaphor and replaces it with a feasting metaphor. Because today's verse reads, you prepare a table before me. My cup overflows. And while it is true that sheep certainly don't eat at a table as we know it, and they certainly don't drink from cups, David is here adding some new elements to the picture that he's been painting with the words of the psalm. But he does this here with phrases that need to be interpreted and understood in more than just one way. Especially, they need to be understood from the perspective of a shepherd and how he tends to his sheep. So today we'll look at this verse that talks about the abundance that we can experience in knowing God as our shepherd. And I trust that we'll be able to look at how we can learn more fully to enjoy his blessings of abundance. So let us look at it, perhaps in splitting it up into three phrases that are really the three headings for my message. First of all, he says, if you just move to the next slide. He says, in the first part of that verse, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's important for us to understand that in the land of Israel especially, during certain seasons of the year, when there is very, very little grazing, the shepherd leads his flock to higher ground in order to give them better and greener pasture. And these higher plateaus or ranges have been called by the same name by shepherds for centuries. They are known as mesas. A mesa is described in an encyclopedia as a flat, open, elevated area of land with steep sides, having a tabletop shape. Incidentally, the word mesa is also the Spanish and Portuguese word for the word table. And for many centuries, these mesas have been referred to in various languages as tablelands. I'm not sure if the pictures are very clear there, but you'll see them. There's a top bit of vegetation, and below that is nothing. And so David uses a play on words here, because he's wanting to present two images to us. The image of a shepherd that cares for his sheep, and the image of a God who prepares a kind of a banquet table for his people. During the spring and early summer, a shepherd would visit the highlands or these mesas once or twice to get them ready, knowing that his flock would be making this journey up there in the coming months. He would prepare the table, so to speak, by pulling out the weeds and cutting out all the poisonous plants that would sometimes grow wild in these top mountain ranges, so that when the sheep arrived, everything would be ready and prepared for them. Often the journeys to these highlands could be dangerous. Predators existed in the mountains that didn't exist down below. Predators such as wolves and coyotes and cougars and bears. And modern day shepherd Philip Keller, who wrote the book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, he says that frequently these predators would remain on the rim rock, the outer skirtings of this tabletop. And they would watch every movement of the sheep, waiting for the chance to strike and to pounce. And though they were always there, they were always present, these enemies watching and waiting, these predators, though, were reluctant to make any move when the shepherd was watching over his sheep. And so the sheep would move along peacefully and contentedly to the top, to the tableland. We'll just go back to that previous slide, if you can, just for a moment. The one just before this. You see, David is here reminding us of God's abundant provision and care of us when he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Do you know what we need to learn to do as Christians? We need to learn to focus on the feast, the tableland that has been prepared for us, and to enjoy all the things that God has in store for us, instead of anxiously looking at the enemy. The enemy, which are all those things that make us feel nervous and anxious and afraid. And in the very midst of all those things, we need to learn to enjoy the blessings of God for that moment, instead of obsessing over every potential problem. Imagine going into this Christmas holiday season and worrying about the potential problems that are going to occur in 2013. So you're going into a holiday time because you want to set those things aside. You want to enjoy the blessings of the moment. And there are times when I've had to tell myself, you know, I've done all that I can do. And now I'm trusting God to do all that He can do, and only He can do, in taking care of me. And I'm not going to let my fear of the unknown prevent me from experiencing joy in my walk with God today. But I think more importantly, what this verse also means for you and I is that He's the God who goes before us. He goes ahead of us. He goes ahead to prepare the way ahead with regard to those things that we've entrusted to His care. Those things that we've committed to Him in prayer. That we might know that in all things God is already at work for the good of those who love Him. Now let's just look at the next phrase. Secondly, "You anoint my head with oil." Sheep face many dangers that shepherds need to take care of. But another big danger that sheep face comes in the form of something that is actually quite small, in fact. It's called the nose fly. And the nose fly does exactly what its name suggests. It tries to nest in the sheep's nose so that it can lay eggs that will hatch a colony of larvae that begin to burrow deep into the nasal cavity and cause severe inflammation. And when the sheep have those nose flies, they become very agitated. They stamp their feet erratically. They even butt their heads against rocks in order to rid themselves of the misery. And the cure for this problem, as shepherds back in the land of Israel in David's time knew very well, the cure for this problem, as well as the prevention and the means of protection, is for the shepherd to apply oil over the sheep's nose and head. I think it's helpful to see that here too, modern day shepherd Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd, looks at the 23rd Psalm. If you can just put up the next slide. He mentions this, and I've just quoted from there. He says, once the oil had been applied, there was immediate change in behavior. Gone was the aggravation. Gone the frenzy. Gone the irritability and the restlessness. Instead, the sheep would start to feed quietly again, then soon lie down in peaceful contentment. One of the important symbols for the word oil in the Bible is with reference to the Holy Spirit and His presence. And when we begin to allow Him, the Holy Spirit, to anoint us with His presence, most of the head-banging aggravations or annoyances and irritations of life begin to lose their significance. They begin to lose their power that drives us into a state of restlessness and distraction. We all know that song very well. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and then the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Why? Well, one, because we know that He is in control, and we've committed that control to Him. And two, because the Holy Spirit gives us the inner peace and joy that we don't need to get stressed out about every little inconvenience that comes our way in life. Other than the Holy Spirit being a symbol for oil in the Bible, the Holy Spirit and His presence elsewhere in the Old Testament, oil is also used to demonstrate consecration. Kings and prophets and priests were anointed with oil to signify that they've been set apart and that God would keep them close to Him as God's chosen leaders. And so the symbolism behind this phrase, "You anoint my head with oil," is that God wants to anoint your life by the Holy Spirit, so that His presence in your life will be there to protect you, to strengthen you, to give you His peace, to give you His joy, and to keep you consecrated and set apart in your walk with Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, living the Christian life is impossible. Not just difficult, impossible. And therefore we need the Holy Spirit and His presence in our walk with Jesus. The last phrase that David uses here in this verse 5 of Psalm 23, he says, "My cup overflows." And here David is saying, I've more of God that I can contain. I have more blessings than there is room in my heart to hold them. And the more I need, the more He gives. My life in God through Christ is a life of abundance. At this Christmas time, I believe it's important to know that Christmas is about the time of Jesus coming to us. But it is so much more important for us to know the answer to the question, why did Jesus come? Not the fact that yes, He came, but why? Well, what exactly did Jesus Himself say was the purpose? I'm so glad Kingsley earlier in the service made reference to John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, if you can just bring up that part there. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And then He goes on to say, I have come that they, that's my sheep, those who know me, that they may have life and have it to the full. In other words, Jesus came to bring us life in all its fullness so that we could know His abundant life. And today's verse in Psalm 23 is about that abundance that we are able to experience when we walk closely with the shepherd. To partake in this abundant life always starts in the same place. It starts with repentance in our hearts. And it starts with turning to Him for forgiveness, for the path that we've been going down. And it starts with His cleansing of sin. And it starts with the commitment of our heart to Him. That's where the abundance starts. When you read the Bible, we'll see that God is a generous God. And I'm not talking about material things, although He does bless His people with material things. But more importantly, God is generous with the things that make life really worthwhile. He is generous with His love. For He is love. He is generous with His mercy. He's generous with His compassion. He's generous with His grace, giving us abundantly beyond what we deserve. He's generous with His forgiveness. He's generous with His joy, with His peace, with His contentment. And He pours out all these things in abundance to us when we ask Him. But I think we are so conditioned to connecting our happiness with possessions that we miss out on the biggest part of God's blessings. And it's true that in certain situations and under certain circumstances, God does bless His people materially. But if only your blessings that you seek are material blessings, then I feel sorry for you. Because God has so much more to give you than just things. Earlier this week, I was thinking about all the areas in my life in which my cup is running over. I just want to mention one or two things. Here's a partial list. Began to reflect on the fact that I've got more sermon ideas than I could ever preach in my whole lifetime. Just not sermons, but the ideas for sermons. I began to think of how I've got a wonderful family that cares so much about me, that supports me and encourages me in my work. I'm never lacking there. I have more music in my music collection than I could ever listen to. And I have more books on my to-read list than I can ever get around to. I've experienced more answers to prayers in my life than I can even begin to remember. And I've been forgiven more times by God than I can even begin to count. Now, the truth is that there are probably a couple of areas in your life in which you feel perhaps, well, my cup isn't really quite full. And you may be tempted to spend your energy focusing on what isn't there, focusing on what is missing from your life. And though you can ask God to provide anything that you lack, and He encourages to bring all our needs to Him, I want to say this morning, don't get into the habit of defining your life according to what you don't have. Instead, make it a point each day to think about the abundance that is already there in your life. Make it a point on focusing on those areas in which God has provided more than enough. And as you begin to think more and more about these things, you'll begin to see that it's true for you too. Your cup runneth over. You have more in your cup than you realized. I want to conclude this morning, but also just perhaps, as I've been closing each message in this series with giving you a little bit of homework. But this is easy homework. Okay? For this week's assignment, I want you to memorize Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I want you then to, after memorizing that verse, realize that it begins by yielding your life to the Holy Spirit. Begin each day with a prayer asking the Holy Spirit to fill you, to anoint you, to watch over you, to take care of you, to consecrate you, which simply means to set you apart and keep you close to Him. To refresh you, to strengthen you, to enable you, to guide you. And then thirdly, I want you to make a cup runneth over list. Is perhaps the best way I can describe it. As early as possible this week, sit down with a pen and a paper and begin to list all the areas in your life in which you have already more than enough. And start the list early, because as the week goes on, I can guarantee you that you'll undoubtedly begin to add to it again and again and again, as more things come to mind. Perhaps some of those things that we've taken for granted. And for each item on the list, make it a point of it to say thank you to God for giving you such abundance of His blessing. As I've already mentioned, the biggest mistake we can make is to measure abundance merely in terms of money or material things or the things that money can buy. There are so many things in life that are so much more important than these. And God is willing to give you more than your heart and my heart has room to hold. And so this week, allow yourself to celebrate and enjoy all the riches of God's blessing in Christ in your life. My prayer is that your eyes may be opened to the vastness of the table that He has prepared for you. Do you remember that song that maybe if you were in Sunday school years ago, maybe you taught Sunday school and you taught this song, Count Your Blessings? Huh? Do you all know that? Now, I don't want to embarrass you guys if you don't know it. But for those who do, it's a song that says, Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We're going to close by just remaining seated as we listen. And perhaps you can sing along, because I think we do know this particular song. It's a song that is based on Psalm 23 by Stuart Townend. And I think we have sung it once or twice in the church. Perhaps not as well as what he plays and sings it. But perhaps as a prayerful meditation on what has been shared this morning, let us sing along with the song.